Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a Martin Luther King edition of the Marks and Reese Show. Johnny Marks, No Ike, R.E., Rob Ellis,
Johnny,
the Dean of Delco. What's up, Robbie?
How you doing, my man?
Well, I mean,
happy MLK Day to everybody out there.
Absolutely, and we'll touch on that, of course, before the end of the day, because it is an important day in our nation's history out there, Rob.
But sure is.
It gets trumped by another Carson Wentz story.
John, here's the thing, man. Last night, as I'm sure all sports fans were, even though usually in Philadelphia we check out if our team's lost, I think everybody was locked in on the two championship games, right?
Two great games. Yep.
And I'm thrilled that we're gonna be able to just talk NFL, football, whatever. We're all on an email chain this morning, and I had all my little ideas ready.
Oh yeah.
And they got obliterated, John. They went flying out the window.
They did. Damn Joe Santoliquido and the Philly Voice article that came out earlier today. So, I mean, let's break it down here, and then we'll take everybody's reaction. I heard, I heard Midday Guys, and, I thought we were going to come in here, like you said, Rob, and talk about this and talk about that. And I was, not that I was worried about it, but I was also thinking, like, all right, well, we need something other than just the championship games. Like, we'll need a little something with the Eagles. Well, we got
a little something.
More than a little something with the Eagles.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, does everybody know what was said in the Joe Santoliquido article?
I think it's a good service to kind of just let everybody know what we're talking about.
Right. The sentiment in the Eagles locker room is that Foles is universally loved, but Wentz isn't. And he goes on to sometimes compliment Carson, in other times criticize him from sources who he describes as being, did he say more than a half dozen players? Or it seems like it's a combination of players and maybe coaches. Part of the problem with the story, as I've talked to people in the media today, is there's some vagueness to who's saying what and where.
Yeah.
Not necessarily you have to put a name on the person, but it'd be nice to know if a front office executive was saying this about Carson or a player was saying this about Carson, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, part of this is people are really outraged when they hear anonymous sources. They get crazy. But the only thing I'll say is there's no way he'd be able to write a piece like this.
Without anonymous sources.
Because right. Players aren't going to go on the record who are current teammates. Even guys in the past, it doesn't...
Not normally.
It doesn't behoove you to say, yeah, you know what? When I was there or... In playing with this guy, you're done.
Yep.
You're probably going to be done. And part of that, and Joe wrote this in the piece, is that people don't put their names on it because they fear repercussions. Well, that's not just because of Carson Wentz. That would be anybody, any quarterback.
Anybody. Right. So sources describe Wentz as incredibly hardworking, determined, highly intelligent, but the true Wentz is more nuanced than complicated, with sources describing him as selfish, uncompromising, egotistical, one who plays favorites and doesn't like to be questioned, one who needs to practice what he preaches and fails to take accountability.
Ooh.
So there you go. Goes on. Carson Wentz's biggest enemy is Carson Wentz, one source said. He had his ass kissed his whole life and sometimes acts like he's won 10 Super Bowls when he hasn't even played in, let alone won a playoff game yet. Everyone around him wants good things for him. He did more thinking on the field than playing. Now, he did playing in 2018. You don't have to be a brain surgeon or a football expert to see how differently this team plays and reacts with one guy as opposed to the other.
Yeah, I mean, the portrait on the field is Nick Foles is willing to roll with whatever the play call is, go through his progressions. Hence, you see an offense that's spread out, that everybody's getting touches, and it's successful. Carson is out there saying, uh-uh, we're changing this bad boy up. I'm doing it my way. And therefore, that's why there were some struggles early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only thing I would ask is, to counter that, why did he have so much success the year before with right. The same line of thinking? I would wonder that.
Yeah, it's I'll be quite honest with you. What I read here, I don't believe Joe's making up the story.
I know Joe to the point where I don't think he's some hatchet job guy who's making things up.
No,
I really don't believe that.
I don't believe that. I don't know Joe well, but I've known him a long time. I've known him 12 or 13 years,
yeah.
And he's... you can have some questions about the story, and that's fine, but I don't believe this is a guy coming out and making stuff up. Is he driving a narrative that he believes, and he kind of said, okay, well, let me find out more about this? You could make that case, sure. But there's something to what he's writing here, okay? So he says, Wentz, according to sources, created friction within the offense. That was different in 2016 and 17 under former Eagles coaches Frank Reich and now the Indianapolis head coach and John DeFilippo. I can just remember Ike saying where he could see, and this is maybe even a couple months ago now, where, and I even commented on this, just think about it, just trying to be very simple about it. Carson Wentz came in the league as the number two overall pick. John DeFilippo, who had been a coordinator in this league, and Frank Reich, who was a quarterback in this league and has been an offensive coordinator for many years, he's coming in and looking up to these guys.
Those guys had resumes.
Right. You're going to listen to those guys.
Yeah.
Now they're both gone, and you have Press Taylor, and you have Mike Groh, and Carson Wentz is now Carson Wentz. Is Carson Wentz going to take the same kind of crap that John DeFilippo maybe had given him in practice? Is Press Taylor even going to critique him difficultly or hard?
Yeah, hypothetically, John DeFilippo could say to Carson, your mechanics weren't good here. You shouldn't have audibled out of that, and you should have ran that. Whereas... Mm-hmm. You could have a situation where Press Taylor is just saying, hey, man, I got you. I understand what you did there. Maybe it didn't work, but we'll get him next time or something. And where there's not the same kind of coach, pupil versus teacher relationship, so to speak.
Yeah. No, things are different. Two new guys come in that you feel are superior. Carson Wentz was going to react one way to a Frank Reich and a John DeFilippo as opposed to new guys that come in. Right. Press Taylor's like 30-some years old. He's a younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes on, and it talks about how, before Reich and DeFilippo stressed the importance of sticking to the play that was called, but according to multiple sources, Wentz tended to complicate the offense. He didn't let it come organically as Foles did. According to one source, Wentz could complicate 2 + 2. Goes on with some things. And listen, the Josina Anderson piece that came out, the main point of that is also present in this particular piece.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people thought that there was maybe a skill guy on offense that had a relationship with Josina Anderson, Alshon Jeffrey, who, by the way, I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't know if Alshon Jeffrey said anything to Josina Anderson or to Joe Santaliquito or anybody else. I don't know that. I'm only telling you what some of the people they're connecting dots out there are doing. All right? So it goes on and it talks about the offense. And the biggest joke about this is bringing up the whole Ertz thing again. Where it's Ertz is over-targeted and everything else. As Elliot Shore Parks pointed out, it's about the same amount of targets with...
That narrative is not true. It's just not. What you're talking about is that Carson targets Ertz more than, say, Nick Foles did. It's almost identical from the time that they played in terms of spreading that ball to those guys. The other thing I'll say is, John, in all of sports, with the exception of maybe NBA players who are almost in their own category, the most diva-ish behavior or thought process comes from a receiver. Now, I'm not telling you it's Jeffrey, just like you just said, but I will tell you receivers are some of the most difficult to get along with. If they're not getting their touches,
they're not happy.
Receivers aren't happy, regardless if you're winning or losing.
Right.
Regardless.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line, and it is worth noting that a lot of his teammates, both offense and defense, came out and said, this is baloney, this is crap, it's not true. And they went to bat for Carson. I didn't check if everybody did that, but I would expect the linemen to certainly have his back. You know, yes. I would expect a lot of the defense to have his back. Let's check what the skill guys are saying. Maybe they're going to come out and have his back too.
Precisely.
But it doesn't. See, here's the thing: somebody coming out and saying this, right? It doesn't mean that it's the entire offense. It doesn't mean that it's half of the offense. It doesn't even mean it's 30% of the offense. But it could mean that there's two or three guys on the offense that are unhappy with Carson Wentz for a variety of reasons, right? Mm-hmm. 3% of 50 whatever or 60 with coaches and things like that. Maybe there's four or five guys that that just confirmed and said, yeah, he had been bullying Mike Groh, which is also reported in the piece. So, I mean, maybe it's just people being like, listen, yeah, well, I mean, what you're hearing isn't wrong, but I like Carson
right.
and everything else.
Or it could be, yeah, look, I didn't see this kind of stuff last year. It's a bit of a different dynamic now. And that would fit into the sort of umbrella of what Joe's writing here.
Another source said, Mike Groh's a good coach who was bullied by Wentz, according to sources. The problem with the offense this past season shouldn't lie with Groh. It should lie with Wentz, they said. I would say that Mike, they need to get a new offense coordinator in there if Carson happening. Wentz is bullying Mike Groh.
You need someone with a backbone to say, hey, dude, dial it down.
Doesn't seem like that's going to happen, at least based on what Doug has said and what's going on.
They got rid of the coaches they were getting rid of.
Yep.
Those guys are gone. And, hey, look, there's this kind of stuff tends to happen to quarterbacks in some way, shape, or form, unless your name's Tom Brady. And even last year, the Patriots had their own level, you know, their own stories thrown at it. Seth Wickersham had the story about how Brady forced out Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. This kind of stuff happens with this position. And Carson, for the most part, throughout his career, had been sort of a Teflon kind of guy. The criticism started when people saw the way that Foles was playing. He started to get some heat. You and I both, you know, on the airwaves, fielding questions and calls from people ripping his play in general. Now this. So what does this mean? How does this get taken to a different level? You're right. When we'll play, we'll read you the tweets throughout the course of the show from his teammates that have come out. But I guess the only thing I would say is, here's the danger of this. What we're going to end up doing invariably, and so are the folks out there listening, if, let's say, Alshon Jeffrey doesn't come out with a tweet, are people then going to say, well, you see that? Alshon didn't tweet in his defense.
Yep.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything. If Alshon could be on a plane, Alshon could just say, dude, I'm not getting involved in this nonsense.
888-729-9494. So by now you've heard or you've read it or whatever it may be. And is this something that you think is fair, a fair criticism of Carson Wentz? And I do. It doesn't mean that it's the whole team. This article is really just a deeper dive into what Josina Anderson had said earlier in the season. It was a longer piece. It had more detail, etc. There's people yapping in there. There's people that are saying this. I do not believe Joe Santoliquito just came out with this and made this up.
I don't either. But the question is, how big of an issue is this and how many people team feel that way? That's what this amounts to. Because if it's a mutiny, then you have a problem. If this is two or three disgruntled people who aren't that impactful anyway, with all due respect, if this is, I'm just making up a name. I have no idea. Wendell Smallwood or somebody else who may not even be here next year, it ain't that big a problem.
Yeah,
if it's critical people, then that's different.
Well, you can get rid of. It wouldn't be the first time in football or other sports where guys don't get along and the star player doesn't get along with another teammate. So you get rid of them.
Sure,
that may happen. This may not even really be Carson's fault. Yeah. But the bottom line is that there's people in this locker room or in that locker room that feel a certain way when Carson Wentz is under center. And by the way, it also shows on this is you can't doubt the team was playing differently without Carson in there than with Nick Foles.
Well, and that is the part that would lend some credence to this. There's no questioning that the offense, for whatever reason, whether Doug called it differently or Nick just ran it differently, looked better. And this is coming from a Wentz guy.
Better chemistry.
Period.
Now, I don't know if he was, quote-unquote, running the offense better. In this piece, it said that he was running the offense better. He wasn't complicating it.
John, from that Rams game, although the Saints game fell apart, but from the Rams game till portions of that Bears game, it looked like a completely different offense.
Let me read this last part, and then we'll set it up at the phones. He has to return to who Carson Wentz is, a source told Philly Voice. That comes with relaxing and not forcing things. It also comes with being able to take constructive criticism. He has to learn that it's not always about him, and that's partly what hurt his team this year. We know what type of player he can be and who he normally is. He needs to realize it's the Philadelphia Eagles and not the Philadelphia Carsons. A little humility goes a long way.
Yep. Yep.
And even in the piece, and let me read one more thing where he even said, the subjects interviewed for this story gave the impression that Wentz changed after his injury, blah, 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 blah. To a person, the sources who spoke for the story stressed that they want Carson to succeed. He's 26 years old, has played just one full NFL season. Many would agree the quarterback wants to be a superstar and sometimes acts like he has won already. And that's certainly understandable.
Yeah, and there's some balance to this where they say, look, we know how smart he is. We know this guy works hard. We would like, as you just mentioned, we would like to see him succeed. So there's that portion where it's not just a total write-off like, hey, man, we can't deal with this guy. He's a total jerk. No. So, you know, for everybody who's killing Joe who wrote it about the anonymous sources, there is some balance to this thing. But, hey, what's real and what isn't? What's agenda-driven from certain players and what isn't? What there's a pack mentality that sometimes, it doesn't matter where you work. Whether it's a radio station, a regular business, whatever, there's always disgruntled employees who feel like they're not being used properly.
Yep.
Okay?
Doesn't mean they're right. It believes that's what they say and they feel.
That's what they feel, but that doesn't mean that's what the situation is.
You're absolutely correct.
That's a big portion of this.
888-729-9494. So I say this, that from a journalist standpoint, who I'm not, this is fair to me. This criticism in here is fair. It's not toxic. It's not to where you're like, oh my God, we should be really worried about Carson Wentz.
You can't even stand in the locker room with this guy. It's, hey, he's got to adjust some things.
He's got to change a couple things.
Yep.
But can we at least start with that? Because the threats that I'm already getting on Twitter via direct message or whatever, because my DMs are open, and I'm not checking the DMs for the rest of the show, Rob, because I don't want to see the
threat. Be distracted.
No, like, God forbid you actually say, like, yeah, I read that. I think that's fair.
Well, I basically just put out, hey, we're going to sift through this thing, and there's already people going nuts with me on Twitter. It's like, dude, I didn't write it for starters, and we're trying to have a reasonable conversation about it. That's what we do.
No, you can't. No reasonable conversations. 888-729-9494. I think this is fair. How about this? I think this is fair criticism of Carson Wentz. Do you agree or disagree? You think I'm crazy? You think Rob's crazy? 888-729-9494. We will start on the phones.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up right after this on Marks and Reese. Don't go anywhere. All right, Marks and Reese, Johnny Marks, no Ike Reese, Rob Ellis in the house. Let's get to it. This story, fair or unfair? Media creation or
fake
fair?
News?
We're in the fake news world there, Rob.
Yes, we are. Right. Yes, we are, John.
Let's do it. John in Northeast Philly. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, John.
Johnny Marks, love you. Rob, don't know much about you, but I love you anyway.
Thanks.
Rob Ellis is a Philly legend, man.
Unconditional love right back at you, John.
But anyway, I think this is, you know, the media's fault, and if he's this way, it's the fans' fault and the media's fault, because we built him up to be a god. You know, like, oh my God, look what he just did. And that, I think that's with any athlete or any person who has status, okay? We build him up so much that he thinks he's this way, so he's going to act like this way. It's like a spoiled little child.
Mm-hmm.
The parents' fault for that. You know, and I'm not, you know, I don't know if we're the parents or not, but I think it's our fault for building him up so much. I mean, you know, we don't see anything he does wrong. We don't criticize him. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that do criticize him, but I'm wholeheartedly, everybody was like, oh, we need to bring Wentz back. He's the best thing that ever happened. And they were dumping on Foles.
Yeah, but John, how does that play to this? You know, that's one thing if we on the outside are saying that. All right, you and me and whomever, that really doesn't matter. This is people inside, if it's real, inside that locker room. That's what matters.
No, what I'm saying, if he's this way, it's our fault because we built him up this way.
I'm not taking blame for anybody's behavior because maybe some people thought like, wow, we have the next coming. Like Patrick Mahomes looks like he is the next great quarterback in this league. That's what a lot of people anointed Carson Wentz in the middle and at the end when he was out after last season. And I don't know if that much is the case, but listen, just because there are a few players that maybe feel like a certain way about Carson Wentz doesn't mean that this has to be, everybody's going to hate him for his rest of his career. Maybe it's just a couple of bad apples that really don't need to be here anymore. Well, Rob, I don't know.
Yeah. And back to John's point that he just made, you don't think people have kissed Drew Brees' ass or let's fill in the blank of any Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the nature of the business. That doesn't mean that you treat people, and again, these are allegations, but treat people that way. One doesn't, to me, compute with the other.
No.
Necessarily. But what this, I agree with you, John, the crux of this is this just some rogue disgruntled or a couple of disgruntled guys who maybe don't feel like they're getting enough touches, whatever, or is this permeating through the locker room and it's a bigger problem? Now, there have been a lot of his players who have taken to Twitter more than anything else and defended him. So read into that how you want. But there have been a lot of guys who have come to his defense, including Torrey Smith, who's not here anymore.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, maybe there are some chemistry issues both on and off the field with Carson and some other guys. Maybe it's just on the field. I don't know.
Yeah, and maybe it's, look, I've been a firm believer that, hey, he wasn't fully healthy. That explains it more than anything else. He didn't have an offseason to work on his game. Maybe there's more to it.
Maybe.
Okay, I mean, you got to if you're trying to be open-minded about this, you have to look at things from all angles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think calling the story BS and saying that unnamed sources is BS, I mean, I'm just telling you, frankly, you're incorrect about that. Look at any of the reporters out there. You can say that, because there are guys out there, Rob, nationally, that they're known for kind of throwing stuff against the wall. They're not really reporting it. They're just saying it.
Yep.
And you're like, all right, well, what exactly is he? He's just talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
this isn't one of these cases where there's a guy that's just throwing stuff against the wall.
It's not just a column where a guy is saying this. There's, I know, and you could say they're anonymous, but there he is quoting people or less using stuff from things that he heard.
The point is that the Adam Schefters, the rap sheets, the big national guys, all the way down to Jeff McClain's and guys that cover the team on a daily basis, when they write articles that are like this, they're very rarely, or I'll just say they will use unnamed or anonymous sources a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time someone went on the record and said something that's critical of a teammate or a player?
In any sport. Think about it. Is anybody going to go on record and say something about Joel Embiid?
No.
Okay.
No, well, no, no.
And
no.
Maybe that's a bad example because he's the best player on the team, but is anybody going to go on record and be critical of Ben Simmons not shooting a jump shot on the Sixers?
No.
They're not.
No,
right?
No, but, not a teammate.
But someone could pull somebody aside and say, dude, the fact that he won't shoot a jumper is killing us. And somebody could write that. This is what we're talking about here. And also keep in mind, Joe is writing this from a columnist standpoint, which means he's giving opinions.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a game story where he's just laying out the facts of the game. It's a different animal.
Right, and Joe actually, and he's going to join us at 3:15?
He is. Joe's going to join us at 3:15.
All right,
just got confirmation.
He has had negative tweets and stories in the past where you could say that he has a narrative of negativity
agenda
towards Carson Wentz.
And we're going to bring that up with him.
And by the way, that's fair because I've seen it.
Yes.
I've seen it, so that's fair, and that's a fair question to ask. He could have already in his head, well, maybe he's heard some things. We all hear things behind the scenes. I'm not a reporter. I don't report it.
Right.
Right, but use common sense. I heard John Ritchie say this on the way in. Based on the timeline in the story, a lot of it made sense to me. A lot of the stuff with Mike Rowe made sense to me. First-year coordinator coming in, feeling like that somebody with an agenda on the Eagles offense is saying, like, well, he was bullying Mike Rowe, i.e. not listening to him.
Yeah, and also, again, it makes you say to yourself, wow, well, the offense didn't look the way that it looked last year. Well, last year, DeFilippo's here. Last year, Reich's here. Maybe this was more than just the knee wasn't 100% and the back was bothering you. And
right.
Again, you and I did shows a couple weeks ago. I've been an unabashed Wentz fan and a backer of his.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to look at this, try to look at this objectively and figure out what's what here and sift through this. As I said in my tweet, I got to figure out what's real.
Yep. Let's go to Corey in Northeast Philly. Corey, is this fake news or do you have to give this some credibility? How are you?
I'm torn in between both. I feel like the only reason that I'm leaning toward that it may be real is because they said a strong locker room presence player stood up and confronted them about it. Now, I understand that we will never know because I'm pretty sure, like, the locker rooms are close-knit. They're like a fraternity. They're not going to come out and say what person said this about Wentz. But and the reason why I believe it's fake news is because it comes at the end of the season. We lost. Season's over. So people are probably fishing for topics to keep our season going. You get what I'm saying? Like,
to keep this
relevant right now.
How do you advance a story?
Right.
So that's kind of like where I'm at between it. But I would love to know that what player, if at all, stood up to him and confronted him about his character. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I would like to know. And then, I mean, like I said, if we knew that, then we can actually say, well, yeah, because this player came out and specifically said he said to Carson Wentz, but I know that would never happen.
Hey, Corey, maybe Carson was acting a certain way and somebody that didn't speak to anybody in the media stood up and said, hey, listen, and actually said what needed to be said. That doesn't mean Carson's a bad guy or even a bad teammate.
That stuff happens in locker rooms all the time.
Dude, it happens at this station with employees and shows. Sometimes you don't realize what you're doing or sometimes something needs to be said. It doesn't mean that Carson's a bad guy and it's toxic.
It gets that way with your kids. You know, I know your kids are really little, but there are times where you got to put them in check and just be like, listen, man, that's not acceptable. You got to get your act together.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. How much of that is constructive, real stuff versus agenda, I didn't get mine, and look at how many Zach Ertz is getting.
Right.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the Ertz, and the other thing I noticed in this article was there was also talk about how changing the play really meant not handing the ball off as much and pulling it back. You wonder if maybe there were some running backs that were also speaking about this.
We automatically think because they're divas a lot of times, it's receivers. There's other people on that field. There are other people that are affected by a play being changed.
Yep.
Okay? At the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And it ain't just receivers.
Remember the last time that, the offensive line, the core, the good old boys, were at odds with maybe some skill guys on this team under Chip Kelly?
Yep.
I.e., DeSean Jackson, i.e. Jason Kelce came out and supported the organization and said he'd never been prouder to be an Eagle.
Right.
When DeSean was out of here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there is past precedent where the offensive line is differing from the other skill guys.
Agreed. And that's why you sort of try to figure out, okay, how much of this is Carson really, you know, needs to change his act a little bit here versus this guy's just got an agenda because he's not getting his because he wants the, you know, wants a spotlight or wants to get paid.
Yeah, I think there's
a little bit of truth in all.
There's something going on with this.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that you need to put him on the trade block.
No.
It's something that just could be corrected naturally. Do I think Carson Wentz was pressing last year? Absolutely he was. Was he healthy? No, I don't think he was healthy at all the whole year. Well, so, this is what, like, next year? Dude, pressure, it's not going to get any easier to be a quarterback.
Oh, no. The next year is really, in a lot of ways, be it injury or be it play, I don't want to say make or break. But it gets ratcheted up 1,000 times more because guess what? There's not going to be a full safety blanket anymore if things don't work out.
Yeah, I hope he performs well under pressure because it's you know, this is growing even worse. It is.
Yeah.
Foles isn't even officially out of here yet.
It's so bizarre, John. We're talking about a team that won a Super Bowl and went to a playoff game and won a playoff game. And these are the kind of quarterback controversies you get with bad teams or mediocre teams.
By the way, did Edelman touch the ball last night?
I'm going to say no after 16,000 replays. First, I thought it was his forearm. Then I thought it was his thumb. His right thumb. Then I thought it was his left thumb. Then they showed me the one angle where it looked like it just missed him. It's incredible how that didn't touch him or, I don't know.
I agree with you. I don't think it did, but you can't overturn that if you have to look at it that many times.
That replay, that challenge took like 25 minutes, it felt like. I'm sitting there like, what are we doing here, man? This is still going.
When they came back from commercial,
how did the Hogan catch?
Oh my God! No, I mean there was three of them in a matter of minutes.
Yeah.
That had to be looked at.
Those games were sick, and
well, that's why I wanted to mention it and just realize that we're thinking about those games yesterday too. We just can't talk about it. JB in Chestnut Hill, what's up, JB?
Hey guys, great show as usual, guys. I mean, I believe that there is definitely, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, especially with the preceding stuff with Jason Anderson, but I also believe that it's very multifaceted. Like, you know, we'll say receiver X. We won't even say names. They're complaining about one particular receiver. And it's true that in the end, it looks like, you know, Ertz had a record-setting career this year, right, with all of his catches. But it also may be, you know, an indication or an indictment on Wentz when he panics. We were taught as a grade school quarterback, when you panic, find your tight end, right? So
right.
If he's screen lancing too much and not going 1-2 read or 1-3 read, what he's supposed to, yeah, so those guys, and you're messing with their wallets. Like, in the end, like, some guys might be on a 1-year contract. Golden Tate's looking to go, you know, he's got to go somewhere. Nelson Aguilar has to be re-upped. So, yeah, and then guys that are making even less than them, the Smallwoods of the world, the Clements of the world that are making the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Every time you pull a ball that you, just because you're freelancing and Corey Clement doesn't get 7 more yards, you're taking money out of his pocket in the end. So there's all these different aspects that are combining for this perfect storm, and I totally believe the story definitely has a leg, so to speak. And, you know, Rob, you were saying that, you know, you were saying earlier that, like, oh, you know, it's going to be weird if, like, you know, if Aguilar or Alshon Jeffrey don't come out and back him, right? Or at least that'll be the appearance.
Yeah, that's what I said, the appearance. I don't think it will be. I said the problem with this is if those guys don't come out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, then why does it matter if Fletcher Cox comes out then? Because Fletcher Cox plays defensive line, and Dak Ertz coming out, he's the recipient of all this extra passes.
Yeah.
And Torrey Smith, no offense, I don't even care about his opinion because Torrey Smith actually falls into the category of what the story talks about, how Frank Reich was able to control the situation and say, no,
yep,
don't go to Ertz, don't do this, go follow the progression to get your stuff in order. Mm-hmm. So that's what kind of gives me a little bit of a, I lean towards it's definitely, you know, more towards it, it's probably true, and hopefully they figure it out, because not good, especially while they're both still in the building, you're trying to figure out, you know.
Yeah, I mean, JB, the guys that the guys that they feel like this will come from or are causing chemistry issues in the locker room will be gone, or they'll need to stop, right? And also, I think that, like, listen, he hasn't been here a long time. Just like with Donovan, when you hear Donovan's teammates that were on defense, they talk a lot differently about him because they're on defense.
Sure.
And they're like, damn, Donovan's good.
Yeah.
Guys on offense may have been talking a little differently about Donovan. That's just the nature of the sport.
Yeah, and it familiarity breeds contempt. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. You could have somebody who's in the same room with them that is frustrated at their usage or whatever. Look, we talked about this pre-show. We're assuming players, maybe there's an agenda from somebody in the front office somewhere that has something to say about this, that maybe wants to get some humility back.
Yeah,
if they feel like it's gotten a little out of control for Carson.
This could be, we don't know who he spoke to. This could be a couple players, former player, member of the coaching staff, somebody in the front office, an agent. Who knows? I have no idea.
Right.
And when Joe comes on at 3:15, I'm not going to ask him who his sources are.
No, right.
We'll ask the appropriate questions. But, I mean, that's the reporter has his sources, and he's not going to name who his sources are just because we want to know.
But, I mean, think of any scenario where an on-the-record player who's currently on the team is going to come out and say something like this against the guy who's going to be the starting quarterback next year.
Right.
It's not going to happen. It's not good business for you to do that.
Yeah, I don't think it's good that you do it anyway.
I agree.
But it's happened.
Yeah, and by the way, if this is real, we thought this was such a harmonious culture and locker room that this maybe puts a couple dents in it. Or you say to yourself, this happens everywhere, man. New England's got these problems. I'm sure the Rams, there are people on that team. They're playing in a Super Bowl, and they're not happy with their touches.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the nature of the beast.
Yep. When you win and you're going to the playoffs and the Super Bowl and all that, you don't seem to get it out there. But
no, we didn't get this story last year this week. We got it now. The Eagles aren't playing anymore.
Today's the anniversary, Ben, of the NFC Championship game last year.
Yep.
Vikings.
So right around now, what time did that game start? Was it at the 4:40 game?
It was the later game.
6:40. So you were in tears by 6:50, right?
Yeah.
You were bawling at Lincoln Financial Field. Ben cried on the pick six. He broke down in tears in the
Patrick
stands.
Patrick Robinson?
This is a long debate we've had between me, John, and Ike. They don't believe me that fans... I was kind of crying, but there were legitimately fans after the interception that were bawling in tears.
Not after the game.
After the interception. There were people who had to bury themselves in their hands. They couldn't handle
it. Ben claims that he looked down his row and people were just bawling, falling on the ground. How absurd is that?
Have you ever cried at the first
after
quarter of a game? First quarter of a game?
No.
After a good play?
No, and if there is one, there's two Bens out there, fine, but Ben's making us believe that the entire section was just like a funeral falling on the ground.
I've cried I've cried after bad segments on a radio show. I might be crying today at some point.
Well, yeah, we'll get her crying in right now then, Rob.
Yes.
888-729-9494, Joe Santoliquido, who wrote this story. Damn you, Joe.
Joe changed the whole day, man.
I was ready to talk about the Saints got ripped off.
And NFL officiating. Romo.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Romo, put him in the Hall of Fame right now. Greatest broadcaster ever.
Oh, my God.
Brady, the GOAT of all sports.
Oh, my God.
Should I save that for later this week, Ben? Brady, the GOAT of all sports?
I think we decided that's Thursday's show.
Okay. It's Thursday content?
Yeah. Thursday's content. Yeah, it's going to be a couple long 2 weeks here before the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
Marks and Reese, 888-729-9494. But this story, is it fair? Or is this just total fake news? I don't believe any of it. It's garbage. 888-729-9494. We're back after this. Marks and Reese. Ben, did Edelman touch that ball yesterday?
No, I don't think he did.
Should have been overturned.
No, absolutely. Or yes, it should.
It should have been?
Whoa.
No, here's the way I view it. I understand the call in the field is what it was, but if you can't go looking for ways that the guy's finger might have moved because the ball to me, if he touched it, it should be obvious that he touched it. There shouldn't be this whole his finger slightly moved a frame.
No,
so
it should have been obvious he didn't touch it, and it wasn't.
Right.
That's the difference. No, it should have been obvious that he didn't touch it. It wasn't obvious. If you have to look at 1,000 replays from 5 different angles, and even then you're like, yeah, it doesn't look like he touched it.
I view it as the opposite thing. I view it as they tried 1,000 times to see if he touched it, and they couldn't see it a single time, and they decided they can't overturn this. It's ridiculous. That's the point football's gotten to. If the guy touched the ball, it'll be obvious. Stop looking for maybe a molecule would. No.
Yeah, but it wasn't obvious. That's the whole point. So here's what I'll say, right? Then get rid of the clear and obvious evidence to overturn. Then get rid of that whole thing then. Take that out of the rule book because that wasn't clear and obvious. There was nothing clear and obvious about it. I don't think it touched him. You can't make that call.
What if
you can't overturn it?
What if they just stop telling refs how to call these and they just ask them to use common sense?
Here's the bigger problem. I agree with you there. Here's the bigger problem. What happened at the end of the Saints game yesterday was ridiculous.
Yeah.
That pass interference call.
Absurd.
The Rams should be in the Super Bowl. I'm just being totally honest. They're not going to overturn it. The Rams shouldn't be in the Super Bowl. How do you miss that call?
How is a guy standing right there and doesn't make that call?
You should be able to overturn penalties on the spot. And Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk has said this, and he's right. Have an official, not a replay official, but an official that works in the booth, follows along with the game, because it took 5 seconds to realize that should have been a penalty.
Yes.
You get them the huddle, and then the replay official looking, saying like,
After further review, you
got to call it, and they just drop a flag.
If it's something that egregious, you should be able to overturn it. I'm not saying every little second you're calling a holding penalty or every
not
little
for
second,
holding penalty.
There's little nonsense, the hand fighting, whatever. In a major part of that game, you can't get that wrong.
Tom Brady not getting hit in the head.
Absurd.
That should be overturned to me. You're not even overturning it. You're like, you throw a flag and then you huddle. Because you know how sometimes the officials huddle and they come out and they say, there's no foul on the play for offensive pass interference. Just have a guy up in the booth that's telling you, no, man, that was a clear interference.
It's simple. After booth review, the penalty on the field, there wasn't one, whatever. The bottom line is, I don't care how you word it, just get it right. And they're not getting it right. But on top of it, can we for 1 second talk about overtime?
Yeah.
Why in God's name, if you kick a field goal, you get another shot, but a touchdown, you don't at least get the ball back?
Well, they're trying to get it right. It's better than before.
It's better, but it's not right.
Even if you make it a shorter period, a 10-minute period, I would rather have the college rules than what they
Me
do
too.
Right now.
Everybody knew yesterday when New England won that coin toss, it was over.
Trouble. Yeah.
Brady was not going to score a touchdown. Double negative you there. He was not going to score a touchdown. Which sucks because Mahomes doesn't even get a shot again. Now you could say, "Hey, if you're the Chiefs, stop them," and that's fair. But why is it okay to not stop a field goal?
Well, let the Patriots stop them. More or less the coin toss. Because I believe that if the Chiefs win the coin toss, they score a touchdown.
Yes.
The way Mahomes was playing,
the rule should be in the playoffs.
What?
This to me is the simplest rule. If a team takes the lead or ties the game, the other team gets the ball. Like, I don't care how they take the
Everybody
lead.
Everybody gets one possession.
No, but it's not even that. Because what I'm worried about is, say they go down and get the touchdown, the other team could come back and get a two-point try. I don't think that's fair. I think the rule should be, because in the playoffs, I don't think the time of the game matters. You want to get it right. If you take the lead, the other team gets the ball every time. I don't care what quarter it is. I don't care how long you've been playing. If the other team goes ahead, you get the ball. And that way, it makes sure that no team ever gets an advantage by getting the ball first. If you take the lead, the other team gets a team to respond.
It's just
a chance
such
to respond.
An arbitrary way to go down on a coin toss.
Yeah,
it really
I hated
is.
It. I hated it. I wanted to see, and I wasn't even, I mean, I was rooting for Andy to win, but I'm marveling at Julian Edelman. Like, how does he manage to do, in that overtime in that fourth quarter, it's amazing what he's able to do on third down.
Is he going
to
be a Hall of Famer?
By the way, he made some unbelievable plays, but he's lucky as hell. Because the punt somehow bounces away from him when he's standing right in front of
and
him trying to field it, and the interception
you're
is
right.
on him. So he
on him.
It wasn't a great throw, but whatever. He's very fortunate, but you're right. He made some insane plays. And Gronk, left for dead, can barely move anymore, is making plays like he was 25 again in the biggest of spots.
It was an amazing game.
Incredible.
And I feel bad for Andy because... Like, listen, do I think Andy went in at halftime and concocted a great game plan? No, I think that Pat Mahomes came out and just said, screw it, I'm going to do what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm going to show my greatness. He is insane. The throws on the move that kid makes.
Well, they're effortless.
It's nothing. He's doing no-look passes in the playoffs.
Nah, he's amazing.
He's got stones, too, man.
He's amazing. Let's go back to the phones. Brian in Westchester. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys.
Yo.
I think the article is fair. The fact that we even question that a journalist would make things up really goes to the state of journalism that we find ourselves in. The economics of journalism right now are so poor. You have people that are doing things that they would never have done 15, 20, 25 years ago. Free content has destroyed journalism.
Well, I think... It depends on who you're talking about. And if this is, and we're going to talk to Joe in about a half hour from now, I don't think Joe is that guy that you just laid out. But I do think
the clickbait exists, sure.
Oh, but I do think, Brian, what you say is correct. There are folks out there who will tend to either make things up or play very loosely with some of the ethics that we were, you know, maybe brought up on and the way it used to be back in the day. Yeah, I do think there is absolutely truth to what you're saying.
Yeah, I never questioned anything, and maybe I should have, but I used to go down to the drugstore, buy the Philadelphia Journal, the Bulletin, the Inquirer, and Daily News. I never questioned for a moment the people who I was reading, be it Bill Conlin, Barniak, Cataldi, none of those guys, because I don't think there was economic pressure for them to make a splash. And I'm not saying that this person is doing it,
right,
but we are in that environment with BuzzFeed,
makes
Fox
you question
News,
it.
CNN. Yep. And so the article makes total sense. The offense under Wentz was not smooth. There was something wrong. And the criticism laid out in that article makes perfect sense.
Thanks, Brian.
I think, Brian, look, it's well said, John. I mean, let's face it. We're in a world where whether it's someone attempting to get clicks, whether it's maybe you're not held to the same standard that you were back in the day if you got something wrong or you did something that was out of bounds. I mean, now there's barely a slap on the wrist at times. And, you know, there's bloggers aren't held to the same standard sometimes that other people are. It's just the way it is.
Well, when something was written in a newspaper, unless you're talking about microfilm or something like that, pre-internet, it doesn't last forever like it does now. When
right.
you write something, it's forever. Once it's digitally on Twitter or whatever, even if you delete it and there's screen grabs or whatever, when you write something, there's all I need to, like today, you know what I Googled? I Googled Carson Wentz and Joe Santoliquido. I Googled right. Carson Wentz. I Googled Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey. I just Google stuff to see what I get because yeah. a lot of times you get interesting things from the past.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, all right. You see some old tweets, right? In a newspaper, someone wrote something, even if it was considered maybe as being an unfair piece, then it's people are mad and you move on to the next story.
Yeah, but I think if something's factually incorrect, their bosses held their feet to the fire a little bit more than maybe people do today.
I totally agree.
But you're right. And it's a nice way to form a history or a precedent when you're researching something. Like you and I are going to talk to Joe today about some of the things that he's tweeted about before or written about before regarding Carson. That's just fair. That's fair game because you put it out there publicly.
Yep.
That's just the way it is.
You did.
Yeah.
Right. It's just not how you feel. It's also been like, oh, you're saying he's not clutch back in November.
Same thing for us. Like, if we put something out there on the air 5 years ago, I know I've had people bring it up to me. Hey, you said this about this guy. What do you say now? And I say, I was wrong. I had an opinion.
Yeah.
We're not always right with opinions or whatever. But if I reported on something that was incorrect, then that's different. Shame on me. Having an opinion and being wrong about an outcome of a game or a player is a hell of a lot different than making up a source. And I'm not saying that's what Joe did, but making up a source or reporting something that you know is factually incorrect. That's a different deal.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Rob, you've been doing this a long time on TV and radio for a long time. And there's been, I'm sure, instances where you have heard things that if you were a reporter, you probably could have taken that and made a story out of
it. John, I'll give you a great example.
Yeah.
Two Saturdays ago, I got something from someone in the know regarding Bryce Harper, okay, that maybe could have led to something.
Okay.
And the person I was talking to said, look, this is real, this is legit, you can go with this, blah, blah, blah. I said, I got to check this, man. Let me dig. I went down about four different roads, and two of those roads did not lead me where I needed to be that I was going to go with something.
Right.
I didn't go with it. And nothing's happened on the Bryce Harper front yet. Doesn't mean the Phillies won't sign him, but I wasn't comfortable going with that with what I had.
Yeah.
Simple.
Doesn't mean they were wrong.
No.
Just doesn't mean that maybe it hasn't happened yet.
They could be right, but I wasn't comfortable enough to put my name behind it.
Ben is actually our reporting leg of the, because Ike's not a reporter. I'm certainly not. So Ben has to come out with the official reports, right? The breaking news reports that aren't really breaking news.
Like he cried at the Vikings game last year?
Yep.
That was breaking news.
That was correct. That was real. 888-729-9494.
There was no anonymous sources. That was firsthand.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
That's right.
I studied journalism in college.
So I didn't need to find somebody else in the row to confirm if Ben was really breaking down and crying.
We didn't need to break down the film so we could catch the camera panning and a tearful Ben.
But Ben saying that people in droves were crying, I couldn't confirm that, and therefore I don't believe it.
Right.
Because there was no independent confirmation. It was
that
just
part
Ben
could be
saying
fake
that.
News. We know one individual was crying.
Is that just what we do today? Is if we don't like something, we consider it fake news because that has proven to be an effective way of saying it. You don't have to say why it's fake news. You just say it's fake news. The president does it all the time, and it's very effective.
Correct. Yes.
And I don't know what's fake news and what's not fake news these days.
It's hard because it's like crying wolf. You put something out there enough times, either you don't believe it or you just kind of numb to it. That's what starts to happen. And anything that can even almost be proven scientifically, you can just say, oh, well, that's not real.
And there is some fake news out there, too.
Well, I've learned today that there are about approximately 2 million Eagles insiders. And, people are saying, well, you know, I've heard the same thing about Carson. That's just... I've heard from people.
What I'm also getting is a ton of, like I mentioned earlier, hey, anytime I see anonymous source, I think it's BS.
Right, which is the wrong way to think of it.
Yeah.
Name one thing in sports that hasn't been anonymously sourced. Like, go on ESPN.com right now and look at the number of stories that have, like, original reporting, and tell me how many of them are actually quoting real people. Everything is anonymously sourced in sports.
Everything.
Because nobody wants to say anything on the record. They're in trouble.
Whether it's a league source, a team source, or whatever. And here's the problem, because there are guys out there that can use the cover of an anonymous source.
Who do it wrong.
They do. There are people out there that do that. Yep. Absolutely. There's no question about that. So I get people being hesitant about it, but people have to understand this is done all the time.
And it's also one of the reasons why a guy like Charles Barkley is so popular. Because he'll flat out, last week, when the Sixers played Embiid in the Indiana game, the Sixers are ridiculous. Crushed. What are they doing?
Yep.
He doesn't hide behind anything.
No.
And that's why one of the reasons why he's loved. It's a little different. Charles just kind of fires off at, off the top of his head quite a bit.
Marks and Reese with Rob Ellis. We'll back your chance with $1,000 comes up next, and then we'll get back at it, talk about the games, and talk about Carson Wentz, because I don't find the report all that damning. See, that's the thing, mm-hmm. Rob. I don't think this is a toxic report where you're looking at it and saying, like, oh my God, what's happening? This is, I think, kind of growing as a quarterback in the league and things that maybe the team needs to help take care of.
I also look at it and I say, you know what? I can see some little kernels of this from a lot of different ways. I can look at it like, yeah, Carson maybe needs to tone it down or get his act together, be more accepting of the system. Maybe there's some players here who have an agenda. I can look at it that way and not just say it's one or the other. And I also think, John, more than anything else, this isn't the end of the world. This stuff happens in the locker room. Not everybody's kumbaya.
No.
Not everybody's holding hands.
If he doesn't continue and more people.
If behavior continues, if it's real, then it's a problem.
You can't act like this.
Yep.
888-729-9494. Your chance to win $1,000. And then Joe Santoliquido will join us at 3:15. And we'll ask him all the appropriate questions, including, hey, man, seems like maybe you have an axe to grind. You don't like Carson Wentz. That's coming up at 3:15 on the Marks and Reese Show. Don't go anywhere. Anthony, Wilmington, Delaware. What's up, Ant?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey. Hi.
Hi.
So, yeah. So, look, I mean, I don't think that article's honestly very far off. I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, I actually have a friend who works inside the Eagles, and, I'll just say that, he's got a polarizing personality. And, it's just, it just is what it is. You know, he's young. And, he's a talented young guy, and, he got a bit of an attitude, and I think it's not going over well with, part of the team. The problem is it majority of the team or just a few guys? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, that's right, and does it extend into the coaching staff, like, is insinuated in the story as well? And how much of this does Doug need to get control of if he is, in fact, not running what he should be running, if he's not listening to his coaches? That it goes beyond the players. So if this is real, yep.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's definitely an element inside the organization, both on management, coaching, and also obviously players. But there's a group in there that's got some disconnect going on. And so I don't think the article's wrong. I honestly don't. Holy smokes, right? I mean, we're going to trade a guy who won the Super Bowl for us, right? I mean, that's a big deal. And it's a big deal with a lot of guys in that locker room. So I do think that that's going to be a problem in the offseason. They're going to have to really figure out how to get everybody rallying around this guy.
Yeah, if that's something that has to happen, John. I mean, let's say this is real. Let's just, for a second, say this is real, mm-hmm. All right, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like this is something that's enough of an issue, just in what you read, that Doug would have to address this, say, at an OTA or at camp or whatever? Does he feel like he needs to get in front of this thing? Or is it just, man, this is, he played, this is locker room stuff? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's something that I would address individually with some people, and then maybe as a group at one of the OTAs or maybe at the start of training camp. Yeah, I just wouldn't let it.
Without singling anybody. Like, in other words, you could address it with Carson and certain guys, but in the group setting, it's, hey, guys, we all need to be on the same page here. Like, not, hey, it's Carson and whatever.
Yeah, I don't think you need to. I wouldn't go out there and say and blame anybody. I would more or less just say, hey, listen, it was a tough season last year, and there were some struggles, and there was some, there was a lot of things that were going on. So it's really important that to get back to the winning ways, that everybody get on the same page without calling out people that are obviously or reportedly complaining to reporters. Let everybody know, like, hey, listen, we understand that a lot of stuff goes on, but the time is to now get on the same page.
Yeah, there's a lot we can take from last year and a lot of stuff that we can learn from that maybe went sideways.
Yeah.
If in fact you feel like that's a big issue.
Yeah. And if you feel like that the people that are responsible for this are toxic in the locker room, get rid of them.
Yeah. You either get rid of them or you better address it with them real quick.
Address it with them. If you feel like this is any particular wide receiver or running back, and Ben, what's the update on Twitter? I know every Eagle fan in the Delaware Valley wants Alshon or running back to respond.
The conspiracy theory that's out there is that Alshon tweeted something today about MLK Day, and everyone's tweeting him, oh, you got to say something, because you know the players have all heard about this.
Sure.
So now I think the scheme is that everybody's trying to go, oh, well, who didn't tweet? Because I guess if you're a player and you hear about this, right away you have to issue a Twitter response, or you must hate Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
It's unfair, but it's...
I know.
Almost understandable.
It's just like, unfortunately, that's a world we live in now.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. How many times has somebody come at you, say, on Twitter with something, and you're like, I'd love to just blast off. and you restrain yourself, right? And you don't. Just because you know you're going down a rabbit hole that you don't want to get involved in. Right, and you don't.
That should become your new character, where you just do, instead of not doing it and being professional. Robbie, that's Ron Ellis, right?
Ron is not afraid to blast. But I mean, seriously. So you don't do it, right? And you're trying to be, you have some restraint, and you're like, bleepity bleep, I want to just go off.
Even though it's an egg,
yeah,
or right. The guy's not real.
There's two followers, and his, you know, he's a wrestling guy, and he's got an egg.
he went wrestling.
But you don't.
See that, Ben? Ben's a wrestling guy.
But the problem is, like, that shouldn't indict you that you don't respond. You know what I mean? Sometimes, but unfortunately, that we're going to look at everybody else, because so many Eagles stepped up today and did respond to it, that we're going to look at anybody, especially on the offensive side, who doesn't say anything.
Even the delay to not do it is now, you're kind of, because there was no other delay from anybody else.
But think about it. Like, nobody cares that, I don't even know if he has or not, but that Malcolm Jenkins didn't respond, because he's on the other side of the ball.
Right.
It's the offensive guys we're really going to be looking at.
So, Ben, keep track of all the skill guys, we'll say. Right? Because we already agree the offensive line likes them, and the tight ends like them.
No, you're not going to see any discord from Ertz or Goddard. I know Ertz already tweeted.
Right.
Of course those guys are happy.
Right, exactly. What about the other guys? Nelly?
Well, the real interesting thing is going to be when, I mean, it's going to be forever now. It's going to be months. And by the time it happens, it's going to be over. But what's going to happen when they go in the locker room? Like, obviously, everyone's going to say that they're going to support Carson. But I wonder, are some people going to say it more emphatically than others? Maybe Alshon's afraid that if he tweets something, read between the lines, we think it isn't strong enough.
Yeah, or if he even tweets that he's indicting himself.
Well, I will say,
you know
this.
What I mean? Like, it's like I gave a clue at this.
Yeah, why does he even have to say it? Why are we assuming it's him? If that's the way he might think.
It seems like that the guys that have come out have been pretty strong about coming out.
No doubt.
And that's worth noting. Mm-hmm. But it also tells you that if guys are ticked off that something like this came out, instead of blaming the media, why not look in your locker room there, guys?
That's true, too.
Which, here's the bottom line. It seems like there's at least some division already in this Eagles locker room. 888-729-9494. And the man who reported it for PhillyVoice.com, Joe Santoliquido, joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.